Columbus.
From the Ohio News Network, this is Ohio Sports Magazine. Now, here's your host, Jay Fox.
Welcome to another episode of Ohio Sports Magazine. I'm your host, Jay Fox, and this week we are talking Cleveland Cavaliers. Tim Elkhorn, the Cavs radio play-by-play guy, joins me as we unpack the good, the bad, and the ugly from the 25-26 season. Also, Tyler Danberg from our flagship station, WBNS 97.1, The Fan in Columbus, joins us to talk about the Ohio State University men's baseball team. That plus all of our Locked On contributors with all the ball. Up next on the Ohio News Network. Cavs radio play-by-play guru Tim Elkhorn joins us to wrap up the Cleveland Cavaliers season and talk about all the things that were good and may have been. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Off-season arrived a little bit earlier than I had hoped, but doing well.
This year, the Cavs were fourth in the Eastern Conference. The record was 52 wins, 30 losses. Last year, they were first in the conference, 64 wins, 18 losses. Does the team consider this year an improvement because we made it to the finals for the first time since 2018?
Yes. Unequivocally, they consider this season to be a success. They had talked about it from the get-go that it really didn't matter where they finished standings-wise in the Eastern Conference or what that final win-loss record was going to be. The measure was going to be to get out of that second round and advance further in the playoffs. And they did that. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals. So from that standpoint, from that measurement, yes, absolutely a successful season.
Has the team performed better under Cavs coach Kenny Atkinson as opposed to J.B. Bickerstaff?
That's a tough question to answer. I mean, certainly as you look at last year's 64 wins, as you said, and then this year advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals, if you use those as measuring sticks, then yes. But listen, I'll never have a negative word to say about JB and what he did and what he has done in Detroit is simply extraordinary. I mean, that was a franchise that was at the bottom of the league as far as wins, losses, and just overall performance. And he took them to the number one seed in the East this year. So they're just different coaches, different styles, and certainly they each coach in a manner that they get success from their basketball players.
Does the coaching make the difference or do the players make the difference?
Oh, I think it's a player-driven league, Jay. You have to have guys that can perform at an elite level. And now, don't get me wrong, coaches certainly do make a difference. But you can have not-so-good basketball players and a great coach, and that doesn't mean that they're going to perform at a high level. It's simply you have to have talented basketball players, and I think that's the case.
What have we learned from the Darius Garland-James Harden swap? Are we a better team than we were before?
Wow, that's a great question. I would say yes. I think in the short term, James Harden came here. And again, that was a challenging situation for him and for the team overall. You come in the stretch run of the season, everybody says, you know, the trade deadline and the All-Star break, that's the halfway point. It's far from it. You only have about a third of the season left at that point. And so for James Harden to come in here, stayed healthy, had to assimilate himself with new teammates and a new system. I think the Cavs are a better team. And again, I don't mean that in a disparaging way toward Darius Garland whatsoever. All-star player, terrific young man. But when you have the ability to go out and the opportunity to go out and acquire a James Harden, I think the Cavaliers made the right move.
Many critics point to game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, where Coach Kenny Atkinson chose to keep Harden in the game instead of subbing in a more defensively adept player to hold that lead. Why was that call so contentious? That's a hard word to say. And did it set the tone for the series?
Well, when you lose a 22-point lead with under 8 minutes to go in a basketball game, that is hard to bounce back from. And so, yeah, I think that game one loss really staggered the Cavaliers, and it was tough for them to come back from that. By the way, don't take anything away from the New York Knicks. They made the NBA Finals because they're playing extraordinary basketball going into the Finals. They had won 11 straight playoff games. That's not an easy thing to do. So, but going back to game one, yeah, that was a difficult setback. The Cavs had the Knicks on their heels, on the ropes, if you want to use that analogy, and couldn't deliver that knockout blow. I think that stuck with them, and certainly for the Knicks, it then gave them the momentum going into game two and for the rest of the series.
It's so easy to Monday morning quarterback. They say hindsight is 20/20. What would have happened, in your opinion, if Coach Kenny Atkinson had said to James Harden at the end of the third quarter, thanks, we'll take it from here and put Dean Wade in instead?
Yeah, that's a tough one, Jay. That really is. As you said, hindsight's always 20/20. I don't think, you know, who knows? I don't think you're going to take a Hall of Fame player just off the floor for the final 12 minutes of the game. Give New York credit. They came up with a game plan, or at least in that final quarter, they came up with a strategy to go after the Cavaliers. And so they executed it very, very well. But you know, woulda, coulda, in the end, it doesn't matter. The Cavs lost that game, and I think it really put them behind the eight ball for the rest of the series.
Is his defensive play, James Harden, that is that his Achilles heel?
I don't know about that. I mean, it's certainly the Knicks found something there that they went after James Harden, but I think James Harden, he's not the MVP player that he was, you know, 12, 13, 14 years ago. I think he would readily admit that. Kobe Altman talked about that in his season-ending press conference. So, you know, you can sit there and kind of pick apart a guy's game, but in the end, James Harden delivered what the Cavaliers had hoped for. Now they look ahead to next year where he'll have a full training camp, a full preseason, and I think at that point you'll see why the Cavaliers made the deal to acquire James Harden.
How did fatigue play a factor in the Knicks series? We had, in my opinion, the most aggressive schedule of anybody in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, that was huge. Now, listen, you can't make excuses, and the Cavs certainly somewhat have themselves to blame for the fact that they were so fatigued. Seven-game series against Toronto, seven-game series against Detroit, and they had a chance in each one of those series to win those series in less games. And so they put themselves in a position where they were playing extra games, per se, in those first two rounds. And so it caught up with them. There's no doubt. Jay, as I watched the games and as I called the games, the Cavaliers certainly looked like a fatigued basketball team. And that schedule that you alluded to, playing every other day, it did catch up with them. But if they had wrapped up the Toronto series earlier, and if they had beaten Detroit, especially that sixth game at home where you had an opportunity to close out the Pistons and just didn't get it done, that came back to haunt the Cavaliers. And then the schedule was baked in as far as you're going to play every other day when you get to the conference finals. It certainly would have been a benefit to the Cavs to have won those first two series in earlier fashion.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back to the Ohio News Network, we will continue our conversation with Tim Elkhorn as we recap the Cleveland Cavaliers season for Ohio Sports Magazine.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Steve Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money, Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan.
Hey, John. What's
marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers?
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Welcome back to Ohio Sports Magazine. We are continuing our conversation with Cleveland Cavaliers radio play-by-play man Tim Elkhorn as we recap the Cleveland Cavaliers 25-26 season. What do you think the Cavs are going to be looking for in terms of roster moves this offseason?
Yeah, that's a great question because, again, they're somewhat limited as far as, you know, salary cap, and not to get too deep in the weeds there, but and they've got a couple of guys that are unrestricted free agents, Dean Wade, Keon Ellis, And again, that's going to be up to Kobe Altman to determine what he wants to do. He mentioned in his press conference, I alluded to it earlier, that this is not a situation where he's going to blow this thing up. He's going to do some work around the periphery. And so, he's got between now and training camp to figure that out. And I would think, you know, maybe a wing player. We've talked about that before, although they love Jalen Tyson, to see what he could do, perhaps in a full-time role. So it's going to be interesting. But this is a team that made the Final Four in the NBA. Now, it didn't end the way they wanted it to in that next series, but they were in the Final Four. They were in the conference finals. So they're close as far as personnel and just getting to that next level, which would be the NBA finals.
Now, every year, rumors circulate as soon as the season is over for any team. There are rumors this year of LeBron coming home to retire and Giannis being acquired from Milwaukee. Do you see any validity to either one of those possibilities?
Yeah, that's a tough one, too, because you have to put yourself in Milwaukee's shoes. Does Giannis truly want out of Milwaukee, and who would their trade partners be, and what would they be looking for in return? And then the LeBron thing, I mean, that percolates every single year. And so, again, you got to also look at the Lakers' standpoint. Do they want LeBron back? Would they bring him back? Or does that now become Luka's team, per se, and they want to just build the roster and build the future around Luka Doncic? So, I don't know what goes on in those back rooms and the conversations that are had. So it's going to be an interesting off season, and I'm sure you're going to hear a lot of names bandied about. But in the end, I think the Cavaliers are somewhat happy for, well, not even somewhat. They're happy with the roster that they have, and they'll make some adjustments, you know, around the edges.
Why do you think Dan Gilbert decided to stick with Kenny Atkinson as head coach for another season?
Well, because he's had success. I mean, you had a coach of the year last year and 64 wins and the number one seed. I thought Kenny this year did a masterful job. This is a team that had 41 different starting lineups during the course of the regular season. And Kenny was able to navigate that and lead his team to somewhere that the Cavs had not been in 8 years, the Eastern Conference Finals. So, Kenny Atkinson is a superb coach and highly regarded across the NBA and in the coaching circles. So he certainly has taken this team to a level that they had not been at for quite some time.
Why is Mike Gansey leaving for Philadelphia, and who's going to replace him? Will it be an internal candidate like Brandon Weems, or are they going to bring somebody from outside in, do you think?
Well, first of all, great move from Mike Gansey. I think everybody, doesn't matter what your line of work, you want to see if you can do what the next level would be. And that's the president of basketball operations. And of course, he's got Kobe Altman here. So, that job wasn't going to become available. So I think Mike just professionally, said, listen, I want an opportunity to run a basketball team from the basketball standpoint. And, great move, great career option for Mike Gansey as far as what the Cavs will do internally or externally to replace Mike Gansey. I'm sure they're going to go through a lot of different candidates and, you know, come up with the best person possible.
Is there any possibility, and this is just hypothetical, is there any possibility that LeBron could come back as an assistant coach player, retire with the team, and then stay in some capacity?
Wow. Yeah, you're right. That's a hypothetical. I don't know what LeBron wants to do insofar as his future is concerned. So, wow, that's a good one, Jay, but I don't have a clue as far as what he would want to do in that regards.
I think personally that he would like to have the ability to play his final season with his son. So I would imagine wherever he goes, Bronny will follow.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, that's a pretty special circumstance. Obviously, it's one for the history books. And I've had the opportunity to call LeBron and Bronny on the floor at the same time. And that's pretty cool. And again, I don't think LeBron can control that per se. But I would think any way that he could make that happen, he would.
What do you say to fans who approach you and say they're disappointed in the outcome of this season?
I think that's fair. In so far as the way that the conference finals ended, you would love to have seen that be a very competitive series, maybe go 6-7 games or whatever the case may be. So it's fair to say, yeah, it was disappointing the way that the conference finals ended. But I think if you step back, big picture-wise, and as I mentioned earlier, see what the Cavaliers did that they hadn't accomplished in 8 years, get to the conference finals, see how Kenny Atkinson navigated through a pretty turbulent season insofar as injuries and different lineups and kind of riding that roller coaster and finding a way to get that accomplished, to get to the conference finals. So I think it's one of those things where you have to look at it big picture-wise and go, we were in the Final Four. The Cavaliers were knocking on the door. They were 4 wins away from going to the NBA Finals, but it ended in disappointing fashion. And I think 2 things can be true at the same time.
I would agree with that. And it is always a pleasure to talk with our friend Tim Alcorn. We will be catching up with you as the summer months go on, because I'm sure that Kobe Altman has a few surprises up his sleeve.
Well, we'll see how it unfolds. It will be interesting. And of course, you know, in the NBA world, it never quite sleeps between the draft and the free agency and all that. So look forward to talking to you again, Jay.
All right. There's more Ohio Sports Magazine around the corner on the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Now is a great time to schedule a back-to-school dental appointment. Dr. Kyle Bogan, president of the Ohio Dental Association, is here to tell us more.
Your child's teeth and gums need the right food, nutrition, and vitamins to grow strong and stay healthy. Help them maintain good oral health by brushing every morning and night, flossing, visiting the dentist twice a year, and developing good eating habits. As kids head back to school, it's important to know that foods and drinks high in sugar, acidity, and other cavity-promoting substances are often low in nutritional value and have the potential to create plaque capable of damaging tooth enamel. A back-to-school dental appointment can diagnose any potential problems and improve your child's oral health. Ohio Dental Association member dentists are located throughout the state, are dedicated to providing the highest quality dental care, are bound by the highest ethical standards, and obtain superior ongoing education and training. Ask if your dentist is a member of the Ohio Dental Association so you know you're being treated by the very best. To find an ODA dentist in your area, visit oda.org.
Does heel pain make you hobble just getting out of bed in the morning? If heel pain is affecting your ability to exercise and meet your walking or running goals, Relief is as close as your local podiatrist. Podiatric physicians are highly trained doctors who specialize in medical and surgical treatment of the foot and ankle. Ohio Foot and Ankle podiatric physicians are available across the state and are devoted to providing the highest quality foot and ankle care. For more information or to find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit ohiofoot.org.
Hey, folks, it's game day, and the betting's going to be intense, Drew.
You said it, Dave, but a good pregame routine keeps betting responsible.
That's right. You got to pause before you play.
Good call. Sports betting is hot, but it can be risky.
And pausing to set limits is an all-star move.
That's right, Dave. If you bet on sports, pause before you play to set limits, recognize the risk, and know when to stop.
Learn more at pausebeforeyouplay.org.
Hey there, I'm Brad. I'm about to win the Tuesday Night Bowling League Championship. I'm also a highway worker for the Ohio Department of Transportation. When you move over and slow down, you're not only giving me room to work, you're making sure I can bowl the winning strike with my buddies.
Roadside workers have lives and families, but when they're on the job, they put it all on the line to protect and serve us. Remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
Brought to you by ODOT, USDOT, NHTSA, and ODPS.
Rothman and Ice.
If you hit a fadeaway on Tree Rollins, you'd remember his name.
But I think in time, Tree Hollins, that name would fade a little bit.
Tree Rollins?
Faded in 2 seconds.
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
The Fan. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Back with more Ohio Sports Magazine and Tyler Danberg joining us from our flagship station, WBNS in Columbus, to talk about the Ohio State University men's baseball season. Boy, did they bounce back.
They really did. Year one to year two under Justin Hare, it was just simply exceptional. A team that won 13 games in 2025, winning 30 games in 2026. Jay, let's go back to before the season. This Buckeye squad was picked to finish 17th out of 17 teams in the Big Ten. They earned the sixth seed in the Big Ten tournament, played three games in the Big Ten tournament, defeated Rutgers. And I think the biggest thing for this team is they won 18 games in Big Ten play. A really good season for the Big Ten as well, with UCLA, sure, what Oregon, USC, Purdue, and Michigan have been able to do. The Buckeyes had their highest conference season win total since 2009.
So what do you think made the difference? How does a team go from 13-37 to 30-25?
Pitching. All the credit to pitching coach Tyler Robinson, director of pitching development Will Morris, and everything that this staff put together in terms of the pitching staff on the mound with the starting rotation and in the bullpen. And what's so impressive is that this team lost three key arms due to season-ending injuries early on in the year. A freshman in Jude Fisher, who was going to be a weekend starter or a midweek starter. Zach Sigmund, who was going to be a key piece out of the bullpen, whether that's as a long man or a back-end reliever. And then Hunter Shaw, a big left-hander who's been a key stalwart the last couple of years for Ohio State. Yet they had a weekend rotation that by the end of the season was among the best in the Big Ten. What Chris Domke, Gavin Kuzneski, and Pierce Herrenbrook did was simply exceptional. They went 5+ innings as a unit 31 times in 2026. That happened 11 times last year with an Ohio State starter. An Ohio State starter went 5+ innings just 11 times last season. You're only as good as next day's starting pitcher, and that's exactly what Pierce, Chris, and Gavin proved for the Buckeyes this year.
Yeah, looking at some of the stats, Gavin led the pitching staff with 69 strikeouts across 83 innings pitched. He was 6-3 on the season and even achieved his 100th career strikeout during the season. And then Pierce anchored with the best ERA at 3.72, and he had a 7-3 record, which, by the way, he had a complete game win in the big tournament.
Yeah, that Pierce Herrenbrook nine-inning jam against Rutgers was just simply sensational. He's such an old-school type of pitcher. He doesn't strike out a lot of guys. He induces ground balls at over 50%, which is just simply exceptional for any pitcher. He throws great off-speed stuff. He throws low in the zone, and he rolls a lot of guys over. He is a nightmare for opposing hitters.
Well, you and I both know that pitching wins ball games, but the thing that strikes me with this team is the balanced performance. They were 14-10 at Bill Davis Stadium and 11-8 on the road. And with a team like this, you would expect that road win-loss to be lopsided. And they had a winning record.
They did. And a lot of that was because of what they did at the end of the season. This is a team that finished the season winning 8 of their last 11 ball games. And really, the season could have been feast or famine by the time May rolled around, because Ohio State entered the month of May having been swept at Purdue, losing 2 of 3 at Rutgers, and they had dropped a few tough midweek games. And then in comes number 16 Nebraska to start off the month of May, and the Buckeyes swept the Cornhuskers, a team that hosted a regional and entered that weekend 12th in the RPI. So one of the top 15 teams in the country at the time at Ohio State swept them at home. And then the Buckeyes ended up taking 2 out of 3 against Michigan State. And then the next weekend, they go up north to Ann Arbor and they face a Michigan Wolverines team that at the time was 36th in the RPI. The Wolverines basically was a series win away for making a regional, and Ohio State swept Michigan in Ann Arbor for the first time since 1994.
Well, and I don't care what sport it is. There's always something special about the Michigan game. So that sweep was important. And then the sweep against number 16 Nebraska was also important. But to me, the Michigan sweep, that just meant something special.
It was. And it was so cool to see the Ohio guys really prove that this rivalry means so much, but it's also cool to see the guys that come in from everywhere, from California to Florida to Pennsylvania and everywhere in between, the guys on the roster that have really embraced the rivalry. And we're going to see a lot more Ohio guys coming into the program these next couple of years when you look at some of the recruiting classes. That's a big point of emphasis for head coach Justin Heron and staff. If you don't know, Justin's from Hamilton, Ohio. Mm-hmm. He's a Stephen T. Baden high school product, and he said, you know, the goal is the best in Ohio, stay in Ohio, and that is a key emphasis for them. It's going to be really interesting to see how he builds this roster with Ohio, and also junior college is going to be a big hallmark of the guys that they bring in, and that was kind of the recipes of success for Ohio State this year.
Well, anytime you can take a pitching staff and cut the ERA almost in half, you've got a winner, and hopefully they can cut it down even further. Because 5-3-1, it's okay, but it's a C. It's not A-plus material. But on the offense, Dane Harvey had a .328 batting average, 57 ribbies, 19 home runs, and he tied the program's single-season home run record.
Dane Harvey is such a fascinating story. He had an ACL tear that he was recovering up from last season. He went to Cowley County Community College in Kansas, same school that produced former All-Star slugger Travis Hafner. He's from Warfordsburg, Pennsylvania. This guy is the definition of a slugger. 6'5", 285. Ryan Day should give him a look, honestly.
Correct. Now, but, how many of these guys are coming back for next year?
Well, we're going to see how many. There have been a few that are dipping into the transfer portal right now, but I would expect to see a lot of these guys back. I think Dane is going to be a key bat that they're going to want to keep. He's only a redshirt sophomore from this past season, so he's got a lot of eligibility left. And it was just so interesting to hear how refreshing Dane is. He's such a great guy, easygoing, super outgoing, and he said this past season changed his outlook on baseball. He changed his outlook on life. He feels like a new man because of what he had been able to do at Ohio State, the support that Ohio State has given to him, and basically rejuvenating his career. I mean, this guy's blossomed into one of the top slugging first basemen in all the country, which has been really cool to see his metamorphosis as the season went on.
All right. We want to thank Tyler for being with us from our flagship station to recap what has been a very exciting, albeit surprisingly exciting, season for Ohio State baseball. And then we'll be turning our attention to football before you know it. Isn't that something?
It's unbelievable.
All right, more Ohio Sports Magazine straight ahead on the Ohio News Network.
ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30. And he works blue.
Okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan.
Get an eco.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Good morning. We're starting the day on a much better note than yesterday. We just got a couple lingering clouds around for this afternoon. By this afternoon, though, temperatures are going to warm into the mid-80s with a little bit of sunshine mixed in. Compared to yesterday, that's a good treat for us. Most of today stays pretty dry, but looking ahead till Monday, it gets a little bit warmer, a little more humid. We're going to have a chance for a few scattered showers and storms later Monday afternoon. I'm your 10 Weather Impact meteorologist, Lily Aldrich, with 97.1 The Fan.
The only works. This is ONN.
Earlier this week, some of the biggest names in college athletics descended upon Washington, D.C. to testify before a U.S. Senate committee with the purpose of advancing the Save College Sports Act, a bipartisan bill put forward last week designed to provide the National Collegiate Athletic Association, or NCAA, antitrust exemption to enforce their rules that have been challenged in court over the last 10 years. Things like the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness payments have made it impossible for schools and their coaches to keep control over their programs. Among those speaking in favor of a federal law protecting the NCAA were former Alabama head coach Nick Saban and former Ohio State president Gordon Gee. Paul Feinbaum covers college football for ESPN. He joined Bo Bishop earlier this week on ONN affiliate WBNS-FM in Columbus. Paul says, much like previous legislation, he does not expect this new bill to go very far.
It just makes it even more extraordinary that bumbling Ted Cruz thought he could pull this off without the only two people in the room that matter. And was probably the most interesting takeaway was last night. We have a caller named Legend, but yep. He's like the biggest Alabama fan on the face of the earth. And he called Nick Saban's testimony hypocritical. That's how bad the day was for this bill. when the natives turned on the sacred cow. And listen, you know, I don't need to tell you the respect that everyone listening has for Nick Saban, but he made a total fool out of himself yesterday.
All anybody wants is control. As you were going through that, I laughed because it's just so out of touch. The idea that you were going to do anything without having Sankey and Petitti and the two conferences that they represent at least aligned or tangentially aligned was just foolish, absolute foolish. And I just don't know how much more time that we're going to waste on this. Is any of this going to amount to a hill of beans, Paul?
I don't think so. It really came out, and this was a play by private equity. There's no question in my mind. And spending a little bit of time in the political world last fall, I got to know a lot of people. And right off to the off, you couldn't see them on TV, were a bunch of people from what's called Smash Capital. That's the private equity group out of Hollywood that is trying to take over college football, and they're trying to decentralize it. In other words, they want control of the TV decisions and the schedule, and that's what this bill is really aimed at, preventing the Big Ten and the SEC from coming together, which is just mind-boggling when you consider where we are in 2026. And to parade Nick Saban and Pete Bavakala and this poor player from wherever he was from, Utah, was laughable. And, Sankey and Petitti are talking to Ted Cruz today, but I don't know why they are. I would just tell them to get screwed.
So funny you bring up Bavakala. I want to get back to the SEC Big Ten thing in a second. But you bring up Bavakala. He has this testimony, Paul, where he's going, yeah, we could make a whole lot more money if we pooled rights, but then says, well, I want no part of pooling rights. They contradict themselves in their own testimony over and over again. Even Nick did that.
And what really bugs me more is the media saying, you know, this is bipartisan. I mean, that's absurd. You found one senator from Washington who's still upset that Washington State got left out of everything, which they should have, by the way. And, you know, to pull this group together Nick Saban said the same thing yesterday that he said 4 or 5 years ago. And it's a little bit inside baseball, but he brought up the Jimbo Fisher situation. But he said, I'm not going to name the school. He's already done that 100,000 times. Then he went after Trinidad Chambliss and Ole Miss. I cannot wait for the third weekend of the year when college game day is at the LSU Ole Miss game and Nick Saban gets booed by the Ole Miss fans.
I am curious if you think that how big this missed and the SEC and the Big Ten putting out a joint statement, is there now an olive branch between the two that maybe this could be the catalyst for?
I think so. And I mean, this is bigger than the CFP in many ways, because what the SEC and the Big Ten did on Tuesday night was they killed the bill that had traction. You read all the experts. Yep. I mean, you heard all the nonsensical testimony leading into the testimony. I've always maintained, and I've asked Greg Sankey this question, you know, 20 times in the last 3 years, what's the deal with Tony Petitti? And, you know, he says all the right things. We got a collegial relationship. I talked to Tony yesterday, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I think on the critical factors of college football, they do agree. And I'll also say, 1 week removed from the Destin meetings, Sankey knows he does not have his conference unified. So if he can find some common ground where he gets a couple of years, I think ultimately he'll agree to whatever Petitti wants.
Fix one thing. Get the calendar sorted out. We had the playoff model that was put out. We knew that the dates, but when you start to see it, you go, my God, they're just going to play 2 weeks of NFL football between games of the college football playoff. Like, my soapbox is start there. Get the calendar right first. And to me, I don't understand why they don't just tackle the things that they actually can before trying to solve all of it.
ESPN does not want to make a deal with Fox, and they're outsourcing the tournament as it is. They want nothing to do the James Madison Tulane games. You know that. We saw that last year. We saw it the year before. So, I mean, I don't know much about Fox, but I'm sure to get involved in the CFP, they'll make a deal. I mean, these companies have made bigger deals than how to handle a 2014 playoff.
My hunch is that the Big Ten will be aligned. Really, the closest thing we get for a dissenter in the Big Ten is Ryan Day saying, I'm not sure a 2014 benefits us. Will Sankey have alignment with his coaches by the time that they convene the next time? And I believe it's in Orlando this year?
It's in Tampa whatever reason. I know it's just it's a long car ride for a lot of the scribes who don't have the Disney credit card. I don't think so, because these coaches, they're all after their own well-being. And Sankey, I don't think much cares what they say. And by the time we get to media day, thank goodness, I think the conversations will be more about Lane Kiffin and quarterbacks and Arch Manning. The spring meetings are all about policy, and that's why they become a big disappointment. Media days, you have players, you have coaches, and knowing the media like we do, they're not going to get bogged down in other things.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Reds are on the Fans family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3.
This is...
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Weston Air, Heating and Cooling, and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
This is ONN.
No Eagle, NBC, Peacock, Westwood One. What have the last couple of years been like as your star has risen so high?
Oh, well, you know what? It's been great because I've gotten to spend time with you. So that's all that matters to me. No, it's been a blast. NBC has been wonderful to me. Westwood One's been great. And so getting to do amazing events, and more than anything, we were talking about this earlier, just getting to be in unbelievable environments like the Shoe and getting to see incredible games like Ohio State at Notre Dame. And this one might be a little bit more of a downer for Ohio State fans, but Ohio State at Oregon, those are all-time great moments. And for me as a huge sports fan, like, that's all you dream of, is being there for those moments. So that's been amazing.
And seeing all these different environments, do some of them, Noah, sometimes blow you away when you realize what they look like in person?
Absolutely. The first time at the Shoe, definitely did that. And you said it, you got to be there to see the band. Certainly did that, made sure we were there plenty early, walk around. And I think that's what I try to do. It's not always feasible, just timing-wise, to get the full time to really walk around and appreciate a place. But we even did an NFL game at the end of this regular season at Lambeau. It was my first time there. Mm. And I said, I got to go and at least just get a feel for this place. And so you feel the history. Sometimes when you do a game, and I'm sure you've done this before as well, you know, before I got to NBC, the previous network I was at, I did a Kansas football game, and the basketball team was playing the night before, and I'd never been at Fog Allen Fieldhouse, and I go, I got to be there. I got to do it. And that one delivered. So it's always nice when it lives up to the hype in your head, and most of these places definitely do that.
You know, when you prepare for a game, and we get the opportunity to have one team as a home team, we see all the time, but for you guys, Noah, it's both teams you have to cram for a whole week. What's that like?
It's fun because you get to really get the full perspective, and I was the voice for the LA Clippers for 4 years, and so exactly what you're talking about of having one side basically covered all the time, I had that, and I got that experience. But what I enjoy about doing it in this way is you get to see it from the full 40,000 feet instead of seeing it from your very rose-colored glasses viewed of your side of it. And so I try to be as impartial as possible. You get to do it 50-50. You get to get excited if there's a good play, regardless of who makes the good play, and you get to really convey the energy that you believe everybody's feeling at home. And so it's a challenge. It's a challenge to make it as much possible of feeling like you know as much as the fans, which is impossible to do. It's probably impossible for you to feel like you do, even covering the team that you do, because these fans now are so educated on their teams. But I do enjoy the challenge of saying, how much information can I absorb over the course of the week going into a football game or a couple days going into a basketball game, and then go out and try to showcase that while not taking away from the game itself.
How valuable is the time spent with the coaches that you get knowing?
That is invaluable. That to me is the gold, because that's the stuff that the fans can't have, right? That's the stuff the fans don't get access to. And so when we meet with coaches, especially for football games, that's the stuff that I feel like it's like a Bible to me. I keep that right to my left, and that is all of what I'm using anytime I can, that it feels like it fits. And certainly when we're doing a basketball game and you can get a little bit extra about a player or a dynamic on the team or a background of a story that might have happened earlier in the season and feel like you can convey that now and give a fan something that they didn't know, that's amazing stuff.
One of the guys I have a lot of respect for both TV and radio, is your father. What was it like growing up at his foot?
It was brutal, man. No, it was the best. He really showcased... There's the show don't tell method, and I think that was a lot of it for him, where he allowed me to go and be myself, whatever I decided to do, whether it was broadcasting or outside of it, just in life. But his example that he set was a lot of just him living and me absorbing. It was osmosis. I would sit in his office as I would watch him prepare for games, and the meticulous amount of notes that were taken and time spent preparing really resonated with me. And so when I decided I want to do that, I said, okay, I'm going to do it the same type of way, going to games with him and watching him interact with people and all the people that lit up when he walked in a room. I said, well, I want to have that effect on people. And so that's really what affected me more than anything, was just getting to be around it and watching it. And it's worked out to this point, but he's been the best. And anytime we get to share a venue like we are here in Greenville is really extra special.
Sounds good. Noah Eagle, thanks for your time. Always good to see you.
I appreciate you, man.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is, fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Feeling stressed or overwhelmed? Not sure how to get the mental health help you need? We've got your back. Call the Mental Health Insurance Assistance Office at 855-438-6442. We'll help you figure out what mental health benefits may be in your health plan. No more confusion, just the support you deserve. Call the Mental Health Insurance Assistance Office at 855-438-6442.
And now, Public Education Matters with Ohio Education Association President Jeff Wensing.
Ohio's educators are dedicated to their students, but we can't do it alone. We need strong partnerships with parents and community members, and we need support from our local and state leaders to ensure our schools have the resources they need to provide a world-class education for all. When we stand together, our students win.
Public Education Matters, brought to you by the Ohio Education Association. Proper tree care is an investment that can lead to substantial returns and increased personal enjoyment. Hiring a certified arborist can help care for your trees and prevent storm damage. Inspections by Ohio ISA certified arborists can often find and mitigate tree defects before they fail. Only professionals with specialized knowledge and training are properly equipped to provide appropriate care. To find an arborist, visit trees4ohio.org. That's trees, the number 4, ohio.org.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Wharf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
Does heel pain make you hobble just getting out of bed in the morning? If heel pain is affecting your ability to exercise and meet your walking or running goals, Relief is as close as your local podiatrist. Podiatric physicians are highly trained doctors who specialize in medical and surgical treatment of the foot and ankle. Ohio Foot and Ankle podiatric physicians are available across the state and are devoted to providing the highest quality foot and ankle care.
For more information or to find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit ohiofoot.org.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Now, let's get some highlights from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. Here's producer Colin Berenger to set the scene.
Thanks, Jay. This week on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, a lot of discussion about the Browns trading star defensive end Miles Garrett. And the guys share what might be the hidden message within the trade.
This is a trade that tells you the Browns do not believe in their quarterbacks. The Browns do not believe they're ready to compete this year. And this is a move to build a championship roster in 2-3 years when the dome's open.
That's it.
This is not for 26. This is not for 27. This is all eyes on 2029. When
and
that
Jason's
dome
been
opens,
telling us that for years.
Can we have a franchise with a quarterback, with an offense, with a defense that can complement everything together and lead them to the playoffs? And that's what this trade signals more than anything else.
To catch the full breakdown, just search the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show on YouTube, subscribe to their page, and enjoy daily content covering all things Cleveland sports. We'll be back to wrap up this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue on the Ohio News Network.
Stay big in your next.
Your favorite fan shows are on YouTube.
Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth.
Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there.
Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.
Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine
on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
We want to thank Tyler Danberg and Tim Elkhorn for being our guests this week. And we want to thank you for listening. For Colin Berenger, Eric Reeser, and Paul Keels, I'm Jay Fox. Thanks for listening to Ohio Sports Magazine. And join us next week right here on the Ohio News Network.